Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Welcome to Democracy-ish. I'm Danielle Moody.
And I'm Wajahat Ali.
And Waj. I don't even know how to begin, but we come to this episode, I believe, with incredibly heavy hearts, as I think has just become the norm, frankly. After news broke of the World Central Kitchen, seven humanitarian workers who have joined Jose Andreas and his team. They are a part of the team in many regions of the world, whether it's war-torn regions, regions torn apart by climate change, tornadoes, hurricanes. These people have worked in devastating conditions. And in a clearly marked van, after coordinating their movements with the Israeli defense force, were bombed. All seven people, including the driver, killed. Including an American. It has prompted outrage globally. In the paper, as we record this, Jose Andreas has a op-ed that is brilliant and heartbreaking, entitled "Let People Eat." Waj, take it away.
How can I take it away? It's one of those situations where these are the final 10 days of Ramadan. And a majority of Palestinians are Muslim, not all. There are Palestinian Christians. There are also atheists. But in the month of Ramadan, there are Palestinians in Gaza who are suffering and enduring a humanitarian crisis and a war, who are still fasting, Danielle, sustaining themselves on animal feed. Because Israel occupies Gaza, it blocks humanitarian aid, it blocks the aid of the United States of America, which had to airdrop it, even though we give Israel weapons and tanks and bombs and money, and people don't have energy and water and food, and they're being bombed even as they get displaced and move to the south. And now there are threats that even the south, Rafah, will be bombed in these final 10 days of Ramadan. And as this is happening, like you mentioned, Jose Andres, on his own dime, has set up the World Central Kitchen to help people like the Gazans, like Palestinians in Gaza, refugees, people who are starving. And seven aid workers, like you mentioned, working with Israel, telling them, hey, folks, we're humanitarians. Hey, folks, we're giving aid. There were multiple strikes, not just one errant missile. There were about three missiles. And that missile, I don't know if you've seen the photo, went through the logo. It's about as unsubtle as it gets. It literally, the munitions dropped through the logo from the ceiling of the van. And meanwhile, Benjamin Netanyahu, instead of saying, we're old enough, Danielle, that we know the BS, but you want to hear the BS. My heart aches. I feel terrible. This is an atrocity. And Netanyahu does his version of, oops, I did it again. This is war. My bad. And President Biden, according to the reports that came out today, is personally on the deal, enraged, Danielle. He's enraged, apparently, according to Politico, but still going to go ahead with the weapons. And the money and the bombs that Israel uses against the Palestinians. Meanwhile, the total amount of humanitarian aid workers who have been killed by Israel during this devastating war now goes all the way up, Daniel, to 196. And we still haven't talked about the journalists who have been killed. We haven't talked about the UN workers. We haven't talked about the doctors. And you're sitting here thinking to yourself, if Israel can get away with killing these seven individuals, including an American who wanted to give food to starving people, and if Jose Andres, who's beloved, is saying, hey, you know, I don't know if you saw his tweets and his comments, he's like, why are we giving unconditional aid to Israel as it's killing these workers? And the fact, people haven't talked about this, and we have to mention it, this is distracting from the consequence that as this happened, guess what? There were about 200 tons of aid that were that was coming from Cyprus that got rerouted. So if Netanyahu's goal was to stop humanitarian aid from coming, success. And other news, Danielle, that people are forgetting about because this is so tragic, right? Because World Central Kitchen is so beloved, is that people aren't talking about the fact that Benjamin Netanyahu is also banning Al Jazeera.
Yep.
Also, Israel attacked an Iranian embassy in Syria, which further escalates war and regional conflict, not just against Israel, but also United States. And also they raided Al-Shifa Hospital, just causing a wake of destruction that left more than 200 people dead, which everyone's saying is a war crime. So we're not even talking about all that, Danielle. But if you even just focus on this, when will we say enough is enough? When will Biden say enough is enough? And this was another thing I'll have to say since you got me going. Yesterday was the White House iftar. I've been to the White House iftar. It got rebranded as a gathering because Muslims and Arabs are like, we can't sit there and friggin' break bread with Biden and Kamala Harris as this is happening. And I don't know if you saw some of the folks who went there yesterday. This just came out. A doctor who attended was taken aback when she showed Biden prints of photos of malnourished children and women in Gaza, to which Biden responded, they had seen those images before. The problem was that she had printed the photos from her own iPhone.
Mm.
And the second thing that came out yesterday in a New Yorker article, in an interview with Chotiner, Isaac Chotiner, Aaron David Miller, who was involved in the peace process, who knows all the parties, he was part of the State Department. I don't know if you saw this amazing quote that he said, where he openly said, oh yeah, I think it's fair to say that the Biden administration is not as empathetic towards Palestinians as is towards Israelis. I think there's no question about that.
Mm.
And now back to you, Daniel.
I mean, you know, I feel like, and I was in conversation on my other show with Dr. Jonathan Metzl about this attack on humanitarians. And I said, I feel like for years now, we have been looking for a tipping point.
Mm.
For months now, 32,000 Palestinians, largely children, dead. Now famine, disease, stories of women being given birth without any anesthesia.
Mm.
Right? Just being sliced open, kids, amputees, no anesthesia because the IDF will not allow medicine as well as food in. And we keep saying, when? You know, what is going to be the thing that will finally push this administration to do what is right? Take off their fucking blinders. Stop providing this man, Netanyahu, who shows himself to be no better than a fucking terrorist, the benefit of the doubt. When does it finally become eroded? Because you see, Waj, one of the things that I have a deep problem with right now is the fact that we are in this global predicament of the rise of fascism and right-wing white supremacist ideology because we don't hold powerful white men accountable for anything. So whether you're looking at Donald Trump and the way that the American court system is treating this 50-year criminal, not 50 years old, I'm talking about since Donald Trump received $1 million from his father, he is a career grifting criminal. But he's been handled for his entire life with kid gloves. You look at Netanyahu, and I listened to an analyst say this recently on cable news. When Netanyahu shrugs at the murder of seven humanitarian workers and says, "This is what happens in war," that was his response.
That's his exact quote.
This analyst said, "Actually, no, this isn't what happens in war, because unless you are at war with, oh, I don't know, a dictator or an authoritarian that doesn't follow the rules of war that democratic countries have agreed to, like Israel, things like this don't happen." Right? So this idea that, oh, well, messy things happen in war, whether or not we like war as a mode of change, there are still rules.
Yeah.
None of which this son of a bitch has been following since October 7th. So if not now, if not in this moment, where I just want to read this quick part from Jose Andreas's piece in the New York Times, "Let People Eat," he wrote this: "We know Israelis. Israelis in their heart of hearts know that food is not a weapon of war. Israel is better than the way this war is being waged. It is better than blocking food and medicine to civilians. It is better than killing aid workers who had coordinated their movements with the Israel Defense Forces." It's just
and after all
beyond.
This, you know, just to give you specifics, after all this, the U.S. government is considering selling Israel up to 50 new F-15 fighter jets, 30 AIM-120 advanced medium-range air-to-air missiles, as well as joint direct attack munitions kits, equipment that can alter dumb bombs into precision guided weapons. Who do you think Israel will use those weapons against, Daniel?
I mean, you know, at what point does the Biden administration say enough is enough? This man has humiliated you.
Every week humiliates us. Every week.
Has humiliated you, has humiliated us as a country. His own people are gathering in the streets to call for his resignation, to call for a new election, because the Israelis inside of Israel say that this motherfucker is making them even more unsafe. So when will we say, you know what? We're pulling back the blank check. You know what? You ain't getting another fucking dime until you open up roads, until you open up this, until you say that you're not going to be invading Rafah, until you stop doing X, Y, and Z. We're not doing a thing to help you. From The New Yorker staff writer Vincent Cunningham, a keenly observed novel of a young black man searching for his place in the world amidst a moment of historic change. Great Expectations is about David's 18 months working for the senator's presidential campaign. Along the way, David meets a myriad of people who raise a set of questions. Questions of history, art, race, religion, and fatherhood that forced David to look at his own life anew and come to terms with his identity as a young black man and father in America. Inspired by the author's experiences working on Obama's 2008 presidential campaign, Cunningham uses a political campaign as his narrative backbone. Great Expectations will be one of the talked-about novels of the year, Colm McCann. Great Expectations is available wherever books are sold.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And you know, Democrats get really pissed off at me, Dania. I don't know if they get pissed off at you. You might have, you know, when I criticize the Biden administration's response to Israel in this war, which has been disastrous, by the way, folks, I always get told, well, what do you expect him to do? And I say he could do a lot. I mean, if literally Joe Biden picked up the phone and said, we're going to make aid conditional and we're going to stop sending you these weapons, the war would end. Literally, the war would end because Israel needs the United States. Remember, there was a temporary ceasefire? The reason why there was a temporary ceasefire and why Israel allowed some humanitarian aid to go, you had an Israeli official openly say, it's because the U.S. pressured us and we can't say no to America because it's our ally. So when people say, Biden has no leverage, he has immense leverage. You know, United States gives billions of dollars of money. It gives diplomatic support, international support. It gives weapons. If the United States says, if Biden picked up the phone, or if Biden went on air, can you imagine Biden goes on air and says, enough is enough. Israel is an ally, but this is too much. Benjamin Netanyahu's gone too far. If he doesn't even use the word Israel, I was thinking about this, Danielle, how Biden could get out of this. If he just attacks Netanyahu, who's like the herpes of Israel, he is hated. 78% of Israelis hate this guy. I mean, before the war, they were out on the streets protesting him. Nobody likes Netanyahu. So don't even use Israel. Just blame Netanyahu. And can you imagine if he did a press conference tomorrow and said, until Netanyahu shows that he cares about civilian life, until he shows me that he's committed to a two-state process, until he stops building settlements, there will be no more aid and weapons. We cannot sanction this. Wouldn't that show strength? Because even you have now Democrats saying, like you said, every week, Biden is humiliated and emasculated by Netanyahu, who, by the way, folks, wants Donald Trump to win. Netanyahu actively wants Trump to win. That's his ally. They share the same base, which is white Christian nationalists. The biggest, largest Zionist group in America is Christians United for Israel. Who is their annual speaker? Who supports them? Benjamin Netanyahu. He actively wants Biden to lose. They don't want Biden and the liberals to win. They want Trump and this right-wing fascist movement that will give a blank check to Netanyahu to do whatever they want. As Jared Kushner said last week, beachfront properties in Gaza, Danielle.
Yep.
Beachfront properties in Gaza. And so here's the quote that I found from Aaron David Miller from the New Yorker interview. Isaac Chotiner said, you know, that's very moving, but there's another kind of loss going on now, which Biden apparently can't conflate with his own experience. Aaron David Miller, quote, oh, if you're asking me, do I think that Joe Biden has the same depth of feeling and empathy for the Palestinians of Gaza as he does for the Israelis? No, he does not. Nor does he convey it. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And so when the guy who has modeled his entire career on empathy is unable to show empathy at all, even at a White House iftar, to Muslims and Arabs, what does that convey to black and brown folks? And not just black and brown folks, Daniel. I think a lot of young progressives, and this is how we tie into domestic politics. You and I have been warning for the last couple of months, and some of our listeners are getting angry at us, that this issue will impact the election. You and I have been banging our heads saying, why is the United States, especially Biden, making himself vulnerable for Netanyahu and opening a way for a Donald Trump autocracy for this bloody war? We have been saying, watch out for this, folks. Watch out for this space. It's going to come to the margins. Don't take it for granted. What happened in Wisconsin yesterday, Danielle?
Lord Jesus. Tell the people, Josh.
You're
on a roll.
Wisconsin's uninstructed voters, right, sent a pretty strong message. The uninstructed option, folks, got more than 48,000 votes. That's almost about 8.3% in Wisconsin. So we've noticed a trend in Wisconsin. We noticed a trend in Minnesota.
Michigan.
We noticed a trend in Michigan. The war is getting more and more brutal. And then Rami Youssef, I don't know if you saw his SNL appearance, which was a great appearance. He was on SNL a couple of days ago. He did a monologue. I knew he'd say something about Gaza, was wondering how he'd pull it through, walked on a tightrope, did a great little bit, did a prayer for Palestine, and literally on the SNL stage said, please free the people of Palestine. Got a 10-second applause. I was shocked. Mm-hmm. I have never seen anything like that in my life, Danielle. A 10-second applause on SNL. What does that show you?
I mean, what it shows is that people have had enough. And it goes back to the question that we have been asking. When are we going to see the tipping point? Is this the tipping point? How many lives? Right? When you, I mean, I just, I don't know how you turn away from starving people.
Hmm.
Like, they shouldn't need to have white skin and pray to somebody's white Jesus in order to receive food. You know, I don't understand what it is going to take, but I know that Netanyahu is not the fucking person that I want to die on the hill with. Right? A person whose own people doesn't want him. So linking arms with this man that has shown himself to be the most calloused politician. I don't get it. But what I do know, and I honestly, bravo to Rami for the courage, because what folks still need to understand is that, you know, people ask, like, where is Hollywood on this and where is Hollywood on that? Hollywood is blacklisting the fuck out of people. That's where they are.
That's the truth.
Right? So for him to have used his big moment to draw attention to and then receive applause from the audience, I pray that his career continues, because what we are seeing is other people's careers being upended.
That's right.
Right. And so when it comes to folks speaking out from the beginning, right, who were blacklisted, threats of being thrown out of school, ruining people's careers, all of these things, 6 months later now, folks, people have had enough of the death. And knowing that their tax dollars, right? And we're writing this, we're talking about this during tax season, the money that you, the check you were writing to the IRS, we might as well just put Netanyahu's name on it, because that's where the money's going.
You know, there might be a little shift, because, you know, that Rami pop cultural moment, although it might not change policy, reflects where people are, Danielle. Mm-hmm. That 10-second applause was huge. Today, as we're recording this, Variety just said that Kirsten Dunst, who is, you know, the actress, when asked her about Jonathan Glazer's speech, and we've talked about Jonathan Glazer before on this program, he is the Jewish-British director of Zone of Interest, and he was the only person in the Academy Awards who used his award time to talk about what was happening. He gave a very humane response where he empathized both with Israelis and Palestinians, and for that, he is being boycotted. There was a letter signed by 450 Jewish content creators pretty much going after him and also sending a signal to the rest of us. And we've talked about on our show, man, if Jonathan Glazer is getting canceled, you and me, Danielle, the daughter of Jamaican immigrants, and Wajahatri, a brown Muslim guy, we're effed. Kristen Dunst today, when asked about Jonathan Glazer's Oscar speech, she said, quote, my interpretation was he was saying that genocide is bad, which is pretty huge.
Pretty big.
And you saw the Gallup poll last week. The Gallup poll that came out showed the shifting perception of Americans. Now, the majority of Americans are saying enough is enough with this war. They're souring on Netanyahu. Still positive about Israel, but more pro-Palestinian. And now even the majority of people are shifting, Danielle. So I know that you and me, when we talk about these issues, and oftentimes, you know, we always joke that we're like the brown and black Cassandra. Like, we say it, no one believes us. We've been trying to warn Democrats, and maybe there are Democrats close to Biden who listen to our program. You got to get on top of this. This is not going to go away. And the reason why this is not going to go away is Netanyahu knows that the second he stops the war, he becomes weak and his own people will want his resignation. So the war and being a wartime quote-unquote leader gives him leeway to still stay in control. He finally met the family members of the hostages because he doesn't care about the hostages. Those folks in Israel want Netanyahu gone because they realize this guy doesn't care about the hostages. So he needs this war. So if you're Netanyahu, why would you end this war in April or May? And if you're Biden, you realize, oh my God, this death toll is going to get worse and worse. We're going to find out more and more. More humanitarian people are going to get killed. More doctors are going to get killed. More and more people are going to turn. There's going to be more video. And I'm risking not just my presidency and my legacy. I'm risking democracy in America, Danielle, because that's what will happen if Trump wins. And for Netanyahu, for Netan effing Yahu, like, isn't it just even doesn't even make it worse, Danielle? It's for Netanyahu.
I mean, it does. And I think that, again, if Biden were to frame it the way that you just laid it out, which is we are not supporting Netanyahu anymore. Mm-hmm. His own people this week have been out in mass protesting him. Okay. We stand with the people of Israel, right? But not this fucking murderous dictator. Like, we're not doing it anymore. I think that the sign of strength to me from this administration is to be able, from any administration, what you want from a Democratic president is to recognize when you have made a mistake and make a fucking pivot.
Pivot.
And there is no desire here for either Biden to recognize that, you know what, your unwavering support is going to cost us our democracy. Now, I do videos every single week where I tell people, honestly, I'm going to tell you very straight up, you cannot fight for democracy elsewhere if we lose democracy in the United States.
That's right.
So whatever it is that you are hopeful for the people of Gaza, you will end any hopefulness that they could possibly have if Donald Trump becomes president again. Understand that your vote has power, not just for you, but for who you say, right, that you are caping for.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
I will say this. This is just coming out, right? Because as we're recording, Politico, quote, angry Biden will still stay the course on Israel. So there's that. And this is, you know, when I said we're going to find out more horrific news about the brutality of this war, I recommend folks reading this article that came out about an hour and a half ago in The Guardian and 972. I'm just going to read it, the first paragraph, okay, Daniel? Mm-hmm. I haven't shared it with you. Quote, the Israeli military's bombing campaign in Gaza used a previously undisclosed AI-powered database that at one stage identified 37,000 potential targets based on their apparent links to Hamas, according to intelligence sources involved in the war. In addition to talking about their use of the AI system called Lavender, how lovely, the intelligence sources claim that Israeli military officials permitted large numbers of Palestinian civilians to be killed, particularly during the early weeks and months of the conflict. The unusually candid testimony provides a rare glimpse into the firsthand experiences of Israeli intelligence officials who have been using machine learning systems to help identify targets during the six-month war.
Welcome to the future of war. That's what that is. I mean, that is just, aside from the astounding amounts of rape and dehumanization and posing with corpses and just like the fucking disgusting pictures, images, videos, and things that we are learning now, this, I don't know, folks. I really do not. Last thoughts to you, Waj.
You know, it's the last 10 days of Ramadan. I believe in God. I know not everyone else does. We do what we can. These are powerful nights, as we say. Sometimes a prayer, even if you don't believe in a God, it means echoing your intention and releasing it to the universe. So you can pray for peace and pray for the folks in Palestine and pray for the hostages. Not only do you pray, use your voice if possible, your tweets, your TikToks, your Facebook posts, talk to your family members, speak up. When someone says, oh, it's so complicated, you could say it's really not that complicated. This is collective punishment against innocent people. It has to end. You're not punishing Hamas. You're killing civilians. And also when it comes to your vote, you know, you have to send a message. And we've always said you got to vote in this election between democracy and fascism. But some of these, you know, these Democratic primaries, you could send a message, Danielle, because we know it's going to be Biden and Trump. But the more and more right. uncommitted there are, the more and more right. people will pay attention. And the more and more you stop Israeli diaspora in its tracks and speak on the side of humanity and love and peace and justice, I think you'll be on the right side of history. But this is how I think we have the majority, Danielle. And I think we can't be bullied by AIPAC and others, the people who come after me and you on social media, the people who are coming after Jonathan Glazer and Melissa Barrera. The more and more of us who speak up, the more and more of us who speak out, then a potential genocide won't be normalized, at least not on our watch. And at least, at the very least, Danielle, we can tell our kids we said something.
Yeah. Amen, Wash. Thank you so much. And, you know, just as a friend and as your colleague, who I know that you receive an unimaginable amount of hate, I just am so appreciative that you continue to do the work that you do, that you continue to speak out, and that you continue to just, you know, bring a level of consciousness as well as humor to these conversations. I appreciate you, my friend.
I appreciate you, and I appreciate our listeners, and thank you all for sticking with us. It's a raw topic, but we had to discuss it.
Thank you for listening to Democracy-ish. I'm Danielle Moody.
And I'm Mujahid Ali.
And we will be back next week, dear friends, if in fact we have a country left. Inshallah.